Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the fourth edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a brand new weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants and refugees. Together, we will visit with the individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today's guest is from Burundi, which is a small landlocked country in Central Africa, slightly smaller than the state of Maryland, actually. It has a moderate climate due to high altitude with about 62 to 73 degrees. And the economy is predominantly agricultural, mostly subsistence and coffee and tea for export. Joining me live here in the studio today is Mia Tahobari. She is from Maine and Burundi and arrived here in August of 2010. Welcome, Mia, and thank you for being my guest today. Excuse me. There we go.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you so much for inviting me today.
It's a pleasure to have you. She said she took English in school, just like I took French in school, and she knew about as much English as I did French after all that time.
Oh.
So she has learned English since 2010 after her arrival. And usually, if you're from Burundi, you speak French?
Yeah, we speak Kirundi, actually. That's our native language. And we speak Swahili and French. So French we learn in schools. So we speak three languages in Burundi.
And is English your fourth then?
That's the fourth.
Yeah.
We learn in schools, but not as French.
Yes, yes. Kind of like we do Spanish or French.
Yes.
Do you have any other languages hiding out in the background that you learned in school?
No, I don't remember, actually. No, that's the four.
Yeah, that should be plenty. It should cover you for a while. So I'm curious if you could help us get a picture for what it looks like in Burundi, what it feels like in Burundi, what it was like growing up there.
Oh, so as you said, it's a very small country, but it has a large population. We have like almost 8 million of people. So, but I grew up in a city, Bujumbura, but also there are people who grow up in a village. So I grew up in a family of 7 kids. Yeah, and I have good memories of my family, parents, very lovely. And yeah, so... Yeah, 3 meals for many people. We have even 1 meal per day, but or 2. But the Raj will take like 2 meals per day.
Your family had 3 a day?
I would say yes, 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did your parents do?
My mom was a nurse, and my father, I think he did social and political sciences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you first came to Maine, do you have an enduring memory, something that you saw first or experienced right away that makes you think of when you first arrived?
Okay, something what surprised me?
Sure.
Yeah, I would say even when I came, the thing I will never forget, it's I went to the restroom. Just I wanted to wash my hands, and I saw the water coming by itself. I didn't turn any button or any, so I just was very surprised when I saw that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So in bathrooms in Burundi, you have to turn a faucet on?
A faucet, uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so you mean the automatic ones?
The automatic, so I still have that image in my head. But also the other thing, it's very cultural. I was in Portland. I just met a lady. Actually, she was like about 60 years old. And I wanted to help her because she had a big luggage, a suitcase. Mm-hmm. She was holding that. And I wanted to help her. But she was very kind, aggressive. She didn't want me to touch it. And I was very shocked. So, oh. But I learned later that You cannot do that here. So,
well, your generosity wasn't understood, was it?
Yeah, because what we We have been raised knowing that you have to help anyone who is older than you. So you do whatever you can do just to help. So I was very shocked.
I bet you were. I bet you were. She didn't know what a good soul you were.
Yeah. I learned it later, what it is. So,
is the United States what you thought it would be when you were on the plane and you were coming? You were expecting something when you got here? Was it as you thought it would be?
No, I came in a different situation. So, as you know, I don't know if you just follow news, it's not very safe now. So, I was not expecting anything that just safe. I was looking for a safe place. And so, I was just happy. I was happy to leave because I was leaving a bad situation, conflict and political situation, very, very hard now. So, but I found a new place, safe place. People were very nice.
And how was it that you ended up in Maine and not in Maryland or Florida?
I would say, why not Maine?
Yeah.
Why not Maine? So,
had you heard of it when you were in Burundi? You know, I'm going to go to Maine.
No. But I was in, I just ended in Washington and Portland, Oregon, and I came here. So I think I picked Maine. Yeah.
I forgot that you had told me your brother lives in Portland, Oregon.
Oregon,
right?
Yeah.
You two have magnets for Portland. What do you wish that all Americans knew and understood about Burundi?
Actually, beside that political situation we are now crossing, which is not very good, bad leadership, government. But beside that, it's a very pretty country. It's we have hospitality. People there, they are very, they have hospitality. They respect strangers.
They'll even help them with their luggage.
Yeah, can you imagine? So, but now our history is very complex and we have conflict between Burundian, between ethnic groups. That's how it is. But it's a nice country. Very warm.
Yes.
Yeah, comparing
much warmer,
to Maine.
Yes. Yeah. When Elise was on our first show, she said that DR Congo would be a wonderful ecotourism place if it weren't for the political unrest, and probably Burundi the same. It's a gorgeous countryside, isn't it?
Yes.
Hilly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what do you mean by it?
Mountainous.
Yes. Yeah. It's, we say that that's Swiss. Do you know that?
Yes,
that?
Swiss Alps.
That's the Swiss in Africa.
Oh,
Burundi.
Swiss Africa is Burundi?
Yes.
I love that. Thank you. That's wonderful.
Okay.
So can you tell us a little bit about your work in Burundi, what you were trained to do, and what you did there?
Okay, the major I did in National University of Burundi, that's, we call it this, I did social and clinical psychology. If I just want to give you a picture of that, it's like a social worker here. So in United States. My work experience was in non-profit organization. Working in a project like helping vulnerable people, children, living in the street. Like we were trying to find families to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I worked in a Red Cross, Burundi Red Cross. But beside that, I was a consultant, private consultant. I was helping women who have been raped. So I was doing counseling and refer them to specialized services like medical or those who want to look for justice, like lawyers. Yeah.
And then you would support them, go with them to see the lawyers, that kind of thing?
Yes, yes, yes. Mm. Yeah, in the whole process.
That's very intense work, isn't it?
Yeah.
How long did you do that?
Oh, I don't remember, but I finished my university. It was 1998. So, but I graduated in 2000 because we have to do like a thesis.
Yes.
In 2 years, doing
so like
some
an internship.
Yeah. 2 years. So I would say I finished in 2000.
When I was learning a little bit about Burundi online, it said only 1 in 2 children go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could help me understand what the other children do when they're not going to school. What do their lives look like?
Oh, yeah. They stay home because people, parents don't have money to send them to school. Yeah.
Do they work in the fields to help with the agriculture or...?
They help parents to do work because even with the change the president did, because for primary school, elementary school, how you call it here, they don't pay. But you know that to send your child to school, it doesn't require just the money to pay the fees to pay the school, but you need money to take care of them, to feed them, yeah, to dress them. So that's why some kids they don't go to school, and also parents they need help, so they just keep their kids at home.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what the average family size is? How many children most families have?
Oh, most family has. I think I would say like four.
About four.
Yeah.
So maybe some of the older children stay back and help with the younger children when they're not in school.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you are listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. If you have been enjoying this program, please consider calling 874-3000. Any support you can offer to WMPG will keep the community radio coming.
Mm-hmm.
We have volunteers here in the studio to take your pledges, and you can call them and talk to them at 874-3000. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. If you're just joining us, then welcome. Today, I have been having a conversation with Mia Tahobari, originally from Burundi, and now also from Gorham, Maine. And if you're just tuning in now and you missed the first part, or you have missed the first three of series in this program, you can certainly visit us at our brand new, freshly launched website, www.newmainersspeak.com. And you can listen to all the old archived interviews and today's interview in a couple days. Mia, you were talking earlier about your work as a social worker in Burundi. Could you tell us a little bit about your work here and what you see as your career path? Where do you want to get to, and how are you going to get there with your work?
Oh, okay. So my work here, I would say I stayed in a medical field. I took a course, certified nurse assistant. Mm-hmm. But also I got a certificate for a training that's new. So I am a community health outreach worker. And those individuals that we help people when, like, they need services at hospital or health providers. We are just like a bridge between community and service providers. We are not like, we are kind of advocate, but also, you know, like people, some they don't speak very well English. So if you know more than the other person, you can help. So you just go with the person and you help to explain what the disease he has or she has to the doctor. So it's new, but we have been helping people to be enrolled in Affordable Care Act. So that's the main purpose.
The funding comes through the Affordable Care Act to make sure that people are getting the services they need?
They know to get enrolled for the what people call generally Obamacare. Mm-hmm. So we help anyone to get enrolled for those who don't have health insurance.
I see. That's another service you provide.
That's another service.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you can enroll for the ACA, the
yes.
Affordable Care Act, or you can get help going to the doctor,
yeah.
Finding the services you
yeah,
need.
Yeah, doing interpreting, but also doing kind of cultural broker. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That starts to sound a little bit like your work in Burundi.
Yeah, it's kind of.
Yes. What would your ideal job be one day here?
Oh, you know, I will not say that I will go to school because I'm getting, I am almost 42 years old. So, but my goal is just to have my certification for social worker. So if can I have my diploma here and yeah, to have them transcribe it. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. You have to have your diploma, your transcripts translated.
Yes.
And then they come up with the equivalencies.
The equivalence, and they can tell you, okay, you have to do those courses or those.
Yes, you might have to do a local ethics class to get fully certified here.
Yes.
And then you can.
Also, it's not an easy process. You have to get those diploma from my country. Okay, so that we, yeah.
In time.
Yes. That we have,
There's so many steps along the process. I don't think many people fully appreciate all the steps. I know that you came here first,
mm-hmm.
started learning the language, got a job,
mm-hmm.
right? And then your husband came not too long after, and then your children joined you once you were established.
Yes, yeah.
That's an incredible transition. It's a really long view on a transition.
Yes, it's very long because, and also that's me, but also just know that there are some people who are still by themselves. They came by themselves and they are only here. They still have their families in Africa. So you can have five years just
yes,
waiting for the, yeah.
Loneliness is a big issue with immigrants, isn't it?
What?
Loneliness,
mm-hmm,
longing
mm-hmm,
for
yes,
home and
yeah,
your people, your culture, your temperatures.
So that's why I keep saying that you need to be busy to get volunteer work and give your time. Yeah, use your skills. That's what I did when I was alone.
Yes, I bet you did. You jumped right in.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't even her first radio interview. She's been on the radio before and in her fourth language, to say the least.
Yeah.
So, you and your husband have five children, is
yes.
that right? And I'd love for you to tell me a little bit about how you have found parenting to be the same or different in Burundi and in America.
Okay, parenting, yeah. Oh, it's different because just to listen what they are telling me now, why they came. Yeah, they just come to school from school and say, "Mom, you cannot say that. I can do this because I need to do that." I say, "No, Mom, say no. You cannot do that because that's how it is." So just to say that it's different in a way that in Burundi, we just say, "Okay, that's the rules. You have to do this, this, this."
Parents have all the authority, right?
We have the authority.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also schools, they will never get involved they get involved in school and education, what they're learning. So we do together, but how you raise your kids, that's your business. But also what we have, we have an expression saying that the child is, this is the child of the community. That's not just your own child. So if my kid was seen, you are my friend, you see my daughter doing wrong stuff, you have the right to correct her, to even to spank her. So, but I think if you do that, you will get in trouble. If I spank your child
yes.
without your permission,
yeah.
I think I will get in trouble. So we can do that in Burundi.
It must be really nice there to know you're supported, you have similar values, and
yeah.
you're all going to work together to make sure those kids
yes.
are behaving in a way that feels comfortable to the community.
Mm-hmm. But also, it's very nice here because they are open. They can say, because sometimes in African culture, they don't say, they don't express themselves, what they think, what they feel. So it's kind of, they are very, kids are very, because I know that, because also I got some frustration from my childhood. So I would say here, kids are open. You can converse with them. They tell you what they think.
That's the trade-off, isn't it?
It's
less disciplined.
Yes.
And it's more permissive, but maybe the permission to also be open and be yourself.
Yes, yes.
Wow, that's tough to balance, though, I bet.
Yeah, there is a good balance. I would say there are positive, but there are also negative. So we know just how to balance. You need to know how to balance those.
So here in this country, do you have some hopes and dreams for your own children as they're getting older? You have kids that range from 14 to 1, right?
Yes, yes.
And so what are your hopes for them here? And what are their own hopes?
First off, they have their own hopes, but just to see where I'm coming from and where I am now today, I am just happy to know that they are in a safe place. Yeah. Sorry about my emotion, but
it's so important.
It's very important.
The most important thing to know our children are safe.
Yes.
And you have provided that for them with great risk to yourself, great loss of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
You've left your community to make sure that your kids have a safe place.
Yes.
To live and go to school.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's a huge commitment, and it's been a big journey. Have you had an organization or an individual that's helped you a tremendous amount here?
Mm-hmm.
Has there been someone that's made a difference to you in your life?
Difference, say it again.
Is there someone here that helped you along, an organization or an individual?
Oh, yeah.
Where did you get help when you came?
I would not name them, but I think there are people who helped me. I don't know where I could be now without them, but there are people who helped me. Churches, also organizations, but also individual people, yeah. Just they helped me to get where I am now.
Mm-hmm. My guess is that you will bring your professional experience as a social worker and your personal experience as a refugee are you a refugee or an immigrant?
No.
Immigrant?
I am an asylum seeker.
An asylum seeker, thank you.
I know those terms are very confusing for people, so I'm looking for asylum, yeah.
So you will bring your experiences as an asylum seeker also to your practice going forward. You'll make a big difference in this community for the people that are here and the people that are yet to come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we're coming toward the end of our show. I wanted to make sure that you know you've been listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and I wanted to give a special thanks to my guest, Mia Tahobari.
Yes. Thank you so much, Kate, and I thank you for this project, and I think that's a way to know new communities in this place, and also a way to express our thanks to this country, to the people, and that just to say that we are going forward, so thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to have you here. I appreciate your time. Mia is quick off to work after this, family in the morning, radio in the afternoon, and then off to work. Thank you for making the time to share a little of your story with us.
Yes.
And thank you for listening. Please join us each Sunday from noon to 12:30 for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. My guest next week will be Mohammed Mohammed. He is a senior at USM with double majors in international studies and political science. Mohammed is a native of both Somalia and Biddeford, Maine, and he cares very much about sharing his story in order to help lift the veil of a mostly stereotyped segment of the population. I hope you will join us.